We will reconvene our council meeting at 10:28 p.m. The next order of business is public portion. This is an opportunity for the public to come forward and present their thoughts and their opinions. We ask when you come forward to please state your name and your address. And you have 3 minutes. Let me set my timer first. And I will open public portion at 10:29 p.m. Yes. Mr. Miller?
My name is Tony Miller, and I live at 2857 Hayes Drive. I'd like to say that I am supportive of the judge's recent ruling regarding the law director's position. I'm concerned with the supermajority's plan to pursue an appeal, hiring more attorneys and spending more of the taxpayers' dollars, and for what? In hopes that the next judge overturns the decision and someone else will be responsible for the court costs? Somehow, is it the supermajority's way of feeling physically responsible? My question to all the members of the supermajority is, what historical case law is there that this judge failed to take into consideration that would show a precedent for another judge to overturn the decision? What additional overwhelming evidence or information that this judge was not given in 3 days of testimony or failed to consider that would lead another judge to overturn the decision? I believe that this is a fishing expedition at the taxpayers' expense. And remember, our tax dollars are paying for both sides. And this is from leadership who loudly touts physical responsibility. I have to believe that there are at least two or more members of the supermajority who see this as a frivolous endeavor. The citizens need you, whoever those are, to step up and say enough. Which two or more of you will it be who make up your mind to not play the follow the leader and vote these ordinances down for the good of this community and to prove you are physically responsible?
Anyone else this evening for public portion? Mr. McKenna?
Ed McKenna, 2963 Lamplight Lane. The zip is 44094. There's two new pieces of legislation on the agenda tonight. The last one is 2018-22. And it says it's regarding appealing the decision of the court. To me, it's written very vaguely, okay? We don't know what those decisions are. And I thought it's kind of poor just on that interest alone. There were many decisions made in that judgment, including who pays the lawyers for his fees. Maybe, you know, you could say that, hey, you guys should be paying for those versus the city of Willoughby Hills. So I thought that the writing of that ordinance was poor. But I'll go back to ordinance 2018-21. Now, with the judgment of the court, this is the legislation for the hiring of a legal firm for the defendant possible litigation for labor problems, okay? And the judgment does say, it does allow that the council can hire legal firms for discrete purposes or tasks, but it also says that it cannot hire what would be the normal law director's duties. And to me, this first pass or preventing lawsuits would be something. First, you should have a law director for before hiring legal counsel to protect it. And I would think you'd be violating the judgment that was made if you go ahead and do that. Okay. In Section 3 of that legislation, I also thought was pretty poor, and it says that it's automatically effective even without the signature of the mayor, or effective immediately. Again, I thought that was questionable and might, again, lend us in court, and I don't want to see that. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else this evening for public portion? I'm closing public portion at 10:34 p.m. Our next order of business is correspondence.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
I would make a motion to override the mayor's veto, sometimes referred to as a line item veto, on ordinance number 2018-13 as amended in its entirety.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to override the mayor's veto on ordinance number 2018-13 as amended. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I'm probably not going to do a real good job, but I'm going to attempt to reiterate the reasons why it is necessary to pass this. It has been required to be filed or turned in by March 31st, which it was, but apparently the auditor's office has requested that we expedite this budget, get it in as soon as possible, because they don't know how to treat a document that carries line item vetoes in it. So that's my understanding, that it's an urgent matter. We need to vote on it, get it in, and I think there was another reason, too. But like I said, it's late. I'm not remembering the other reason. The union is, since they are union positions involved in the budget, the ASME union also needs notification that this budget has been passed so they can record it and understand it into their records also.
Thank you, Councilman Micah.
Madam President, so it's my understanding then that voting this down would accomplish the same thing. It would then basically say that we are amending the budget as per the line item vetoes. And I'll just restate that my concerns about this, I haven't even had a chance because unfortunately I was out of town when this was passed. But I think before we make such drastic cuts to our administrative staff that we should make sure we have a plan that's workable to cover those positions before we just cut positions. I'm not saying that that some of these or all of these may make sense. I don't know. We haven't really had those discussions with the department heads to say, how would you cover this if you didn't have this person? How could this be covered? Can it be covered? And come up with a workable plan so that our residents aren't suffering from the results of that. So for that reason, I don't think it's prudent for us to do this at this time.
Madam President, what I've been hearing repeatedly over and over again, this goes back to our former law director, Loby. The mayor has stated it on numerous occasions, and it's been stated from these council chambers many times, that council always can go back and amend, add, and change budgetary items as we see the need.
Madam President, if I could say, this budget, as amended, without the mayor's veto, eliminates administrative overhead, reduces the city debt, increases funding for our safety forces, increases funding for our road repair. I couldn't support it more, and frankly, sitting here now, I view it as the greatest legislative achievement, not just for myself, but for this council in the last 10 years, because we've gone the wrong way with safety forces for too long. If you look at the staffing in the fire department, from the beginning of the decade to today, we saw a nearly one-third cut in their staffing in terms of how many people are on staff at any given time to serve our residents and protect them, as the population grew by nearly a third, by 20% or so. Those arrows were going the wrong direction for too long. The calls are at record levels, and our police are facing greater challenges as well. Our roads are in need of repair. I can tell you, I've probably gone up and down every street in Willoughby Hills dozens and dozens and dozens of times, not just to knock on doors, not just to drop literature, but to see my neighbors. And I got to tell you, I've seen firsthand the condition of our roads, but I've heard more than I've seen how dissatisfied residents are who pay into our road levy every single year and can point to roads that haven't been repaved since, rest his soul, Mayor Mortal Ryan was in office. And that's not right. Residents who pay their property taxes, who are good citizens, deserve better from our city. And this budget doesn't go far enough, in my view, but it's a step in the right direction. And I think as we make adjustments going forward, we're going to need to find more money to allocate to roads and police and to fire, and we're going to have to find more cuts on the administrative end. So I really encourage our administration to become more and more efficient so that we can serve our residents better. And I get that it's hard. No one enjoys these decisions. This was a painful compromise budget, but it's the best budget Willoughby Hills has had in a decade, and I'm incredibly proud to have been a small part of the work on it, and I'm very grateful to Councilwoman Peach Moe for taking the lead and working on it line by line. This was a very, very difficult task. I personally believe there should have been more help from the administration in working with her to do it, but nonetheless, she stepped up, and anyone who would question her credentials, whether it be in the News Herald or at a council meeting, should be ashamed of themselves. Thank you.
Madam President, just one more thing. I just want the residents to remember that not so long ago, we lost a lot of funding from the state that enabled us to do more for our roads, for our services and such. And so given the dramatic amount of money that we no longer receive, that we can't ignore the impact that that had on our ability. So, while it's always great to be able to do more, I think I would like to see more things of businesses moving to the city, creating more income in the city, so that we can do more things rather than just worried about cutting bodies that may come back to haunt our residents.
Vicki, can call the vote, please?
Hebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The motion to set aside the mayor's veto has passed. The next is legislation. The first one is ordinance number 2018-20. Vicki, will you read the caption, please?
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor of the city of Willoughby Hills to participate in the Ohio Department of Transportation's ODOT annual summer road salt bid 418-19 in accordance with Ohio Revised Code 5513.01b and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Plesnik.
Motion to waive the two-day notification on ordinance number 2018-20.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to waive the two-day notification on ordinance 2018-20. Is there any discussion on that motion? Vicki?
Hebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The two-day notification on ordinance 2018-20 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Plesnik.
Motion to waive the three reading rule on ordinance number 2018-20.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2018-20. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, that was Councilwoman Micah.
I stand corrected. I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, this was brought up to with some urgency because there needs to be a there's a deadline for this that would fall just the day after our next council meeting. And although Mr. Grubas did receive an exception for that, I think it's prudent, and that's why we brought it forth today.
Thank you. Vicki?
Pepe?
Yes.
Hullum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Lushnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2018-20 has been waived.
Madam President, move to adopt Ordinance Number 2018-20.
Second.
I have motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Plushnick to adopt Ordinance 2018-20. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Fabig?
Yes.
Hullum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plushnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. Ordinance 2018-20 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance Number 2018-21.
An ordinance for the appointment of Joseph N. Gross and Benish Freelander Copeland and Aronoff LLP to serve as special counsel for the City of Willoughby Hills for the purpose of representing the city in defending currently pending labor or employment-related suits or controversies and preventing or defending labor or employment-related suits or controversies related to the implementation of the 2018 city budget and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President. Councilman Phoebe?
Move to waive the two-day notification for Ordinance 2018-21.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Plushnick to waive the two-day notification on Ordinance 2018-21. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Madam President, this also came up quickly, and Council has to move to protect the city immediately, so that's why this was moved to come to a special meeting tonight.
Vicki, we're voting on waiving the two-day notification.
Correct.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hullum?
No.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plushnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. The two-day notification on 2018-21 has been waived.
Madam President, move to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance Number 2018-21.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Plushnick to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2018-21. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, following off Councilman Fiebig's comments, this is so time-sensitive because we've had the mayor threaten, quote-unquote, consequences and possible suits in his veto of our budget. We've seen multiple posts to social media where a member of the union has threatened unfair labor practices against the city. Given that a judge ruled that neither the mayor's appointment of Mr. Germano as interim or acting law director or council's appointment of Steve Byron as acting law director are valid, and so we have no law director of any kind to represent the city. We need to have someone who's legally competent to respond to any lawsuit or unfair labor practice that's brought against the city. We would be derelict in our duty as fiduciaries to the city if there was not at least one person who could respond to imminent threatened litigation against the city, and we don't know what the timing would be, our time for responding to such litigation, which is why it's so time-sensitive. We're certainly, at least speaking for myself, I'm certainly open to discussing the terms of engagement with this or any other attorney, but right here and now there has to be someone who can respond to these threats that have been directly given to council by the mayor. We need to be prepared for it. If they don't realize, I certainly hope that they don't realize, this may ultimately be a very short representation, but if we do have any litigation against the city, it's our obligation to defend it. It's really regretful to me that the mayor is not here. I wanted to talk to him about these issues. I actually took the time to text the mayor asking him to immediately return. I don't know why he's not here now. It's certainly difficult to be here this late at night. I'm sure we're all tired and we'd rather be home watching Star Trek: The Next Generation. But absolutely absent that, we have our duty here, and I certainly want to talk to the mayor. I want to get his sense of what he thinks we need to do to protect the city's interest. But given that he's not here, and if there were to be a veto on this legislation, it would take a week for it to come to pass, we have to have someone in place immediately to defend the city's interest. I'm open to changing this if the mayor has a better proposal, not something he dictates to council, but working with us if he can show there's a more affordable, a better fit law firm to handle this work. But no one could reasonably say the city should go undefended and have default judgments ordered against it. And right now there's no one legally competent, given the judge's ruling that the mayor's appointment of Mr. Germano was invalid and council's appointment of Mr. Byron was invalid as acting law director. There's no one to defend the city, and that's not responsible.
Madam President.
Madam President.
We are speaking about waiving the three reading rule, by the way.
This is to speak of the urgency of it, but Mr. Hallam can go first. I think he was recognized.
Sure. Yes. I'm not aware of any, you know, while there have been some warnings, I perceive them as just warnings that it could happen, making us aware, making people aware that these things could happen if you do this kind of thing. I personally don't view them as threats, more of a warning, making us aware of what could happen. And so I'm not aware of any real imminent, anything imminent coming up. And it's my understanding that in any regard, I believe that according to our charter, ordinances, the Ohio Revised Code, that legal counsel is, the selection of them is really the sole responsibility of the mayor, and I just don't think this is, that we need this.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
With all due respect to Councilman Hallam, I'd just like to say I don't believe that you share our sense of urgency, because your name has not been in the paper multiple times being sued in your capacity as councilperson. And I strongly believe that you probably haven't spent sleepless nights worrying about lawsuits, because you haven't had one against you. So, you know, it's easy to be an armchair quarterback and sit there and make your statement, but I just really want to let you know that it's a really different experience when your name is on the legal papers and you're involved in something like that.
I'm sure it is. We should make better decisions so we don't get sued.
We're really trying.
Please be recognized. I'm asking for the floor.
You are recognized.
Yep.
Madam President, the taxpayers' lawsuit from Bob Wager was against the city of Willoughby Hills. The city of Willoughby Hills was sued. The city of Willoughby Hills is the defendant. So in our capacity as council members, as constituent members of the city of Willoughby Hills, it is our duty as fiduciaries of the city to defend it. Therefore, the question that I would have for the mayor would be, do you agree that we need protection against lawsuits as the entity, the city of Willoughby Hills? So we would like to work with him to have that. This puts this in place now because of the timing, and this is why we're here this evening, because, and this is why there's a three-reading rule waived, because if it goes 3 weeks from now, and if there is pending litigation or a ULP filed because of the budget that's passed, we would be putting the city at tremendous risk to where there'd be, say, a default judgment. Kind of the same way that the union went through, council wasn't aware that there was a 30-day window and that council had to officially, in its body, act. Just the personnel relations saying, go back to the mayor and tell him to renegotiate, that was not sufficient. Well, we didn't know that. Our legal counsel did not tell us that. Now we don't have legal counsel as the fiduciaries of the city of Willoughby Hills because of this judge's ruling. This judge held in his ruling that counsel may, if you want to read the line directly, I'd appreciate it, but I'll essentially say that may hire engage outside counsel with respect to a discreet, pressing matter. And this certainly is a discreet, pressing matter. And it's only for this matter. It certainly is pressing because I have seen and read statements from people who have the ability to sue the city, make that claim that they will sue the city. So that's why this is pressing. I wish the mayor were here right now so we could discuss it, but if he's not, then we'll hopefully he'll hear this and review this, and we're all open to have that discussion with him one-on-one if possible, and certainly by the time we meet again next Thursday. Thank you.
Vicki, you call the rule for waiving the three-reading rule.
Feebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The three-reading rule on ordinance 2018-21 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Move to adopt ordinance number 2018-.
Madam President. I would move to amend ordinance 2018-21, specifically in section 1, I would add at the end of the sentence controversies and is hired, is also hired pursuant to council's authority under section 3.25 of the charter, as quote, or as an quote, other employees, as I should say, as one of quote, other employees of council as it deems necessary, end quote. Let me restate that. At the end of section 1, I would write, and is also hired pursuant to council's authority under section 3.25 of the charter as one of the, quote, other employees of council as it deems necessary, end quote.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to amend ordinance 2018-21 under section 1. And, John, you want to repeat that?
I will repeat my amendment one more time. At the end, after the word controversies, I would add, and is also hired pursuant to council's authority under section 3.25 of the charter, as one of the, quote, other employees of council as it deems necessary, end quote.
Any discussion on the motion to amend? Vicki, call the roll.
Feebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The motion to amend ordinance 2018-21.
Madam President, move to adopt ordinance number 2018-21.
As amended.
As amended.
Second.
I motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilman Feebig to adopt ordinance 2018-21 as amended. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President?
Yes, Councilman Helm.
Yes. I have several concerns about this ordinance. In the second whereas clause, it is not the authority of council to appoint. The mayor still appoints. So I don't think that that's correct. The third whereas, I still don't think there's any pending labor controversies or litigation. Not that I've been made aware of officially. And quite frankly, if any were created, They were as a result of the, you know, that were, if there were any created as a result of any of the work done by Mr. Gross, which we don't know whether there was or not, that wouldn't any longer exist because the court ruled that 2018-88 was illegal and enforceable ab initio, which means from the beginning anyway. And then the last whereas states modified agreement. What agreement? Because there wasn't anything attached to this ordinance that I've seen. And then in Section 2, it talks about an attachment. I haven't seen the attachment. In the sixth whereas, I'm just wondering, who is threatened to bring a suit? Because it can't be an individual. It has to be the union that would do that. And how did we get from the union to, to the city's budget? How did that, because there hasn't been anything, to my knowledge, officially done for that. And on Section 3, again, what agreement and what does it mean as if the mayor signed the agreement mean? Because, in our charter, it does say the mayor, everything has to be presented to the mayor to sign. And then I'm also curious who drafted the ordinance. Did Mr. Byron have anything to do with the writing of this ordinance? And also, what committees discussed this? I'm not aware of any meetings held in the sunshine, anyway, that would have precipitated this ordinance. And Section 5, again, just what pending litigation are we talking about? The judge did state that the mayor is the sole negotiator for union matters, and again, I'm not aware of any imminent litigation. Those are my concerns. Thank you.
Madam President, I would just like to say that Joe Gross has been working on a current controversy with regards to this, to one of the unions in the city, and so this would just enable him to continue working on that controversy, and he's already up to speed on the issue, so I think that it just makes sense for him to continue. And I would just like to reiterate that while this might not be the mayor's first choice, I would recommend that he talk to Mr. Gross and, discuss with him the matters that are at hand, and he will find that Mr. Gross is well-versed in the law and a perfectly good advocate for our city in this matter. And, again, if he disagrees, I'm definitely willing to entertain his argument and discuss this. And if we can agree to changing the attorney here, then I would entertain that idea at a later date. So that is all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilor Micah.
Just like to just stress the point that it is an uneasy position to be in, to not have a law director. In fact, there are city officials that express surprise and dismay that our city recent ruling was left us in a position without a law director, law advice at all. I think it's a necessary step to have some sort of legal protection. Whether we have litigation that is threatened or actually legislated, to me, you need to be prepared. You need to seek legal advice. We're not doing this flagrantly or without thought. We have discussed it. We feel there's enough reason. If we didn't feel there was a reason, we wouldn't be looking at this ordinance right now. This is similar to what got us in trouble with Steve Byron. We didn't have a law director back in September. We felt the extreme need to have a law director. We had a threat of an unfair labor practice against us, similar to the threats we're experiencing right now. We, in good faith, engaged a law director that we felt was an expert and would provide us legal advice that we desired at the time. There is a law term or an appeal term called harmless error. We did not sneak around and do something on purpose to wreck the city. We were trying to protect the city. We were trying to get a quality lawyer to give us legal advice and guide us through an unfair labor practice, which has spiraled 6 months later into this mess that we now have. And now we're on the defensive again, trying to protect ourselves again legally. That is what's going on right now. And so I would appreciate it if people would support our efforts and realize that we're just human beings trying to do a job here, and we're trying to make the best decisions we can in a difficult situation and trying to be mindful of our money and our budget and our legal predicament that we're in at the time. Thank you for those of you that do support us.
Thank you, Councilman Micah.
Madam President, I would just follow on by saying the only reason that the city faces this liability, the only reason that the city is going to be in a position to pay any legal fees, is because people chose to sue the city. And as we talk about the importance of working together, the furthest thing from working together is suing your own city, your own community, your own taxpayers. And I find it sad that rather than reaching across the aisle and trying to find a way to compromise, people would choose to default to suing. That's the least cooperative way of going forward. And unfortunately, it's costly to the taxpayers. People mentioned the past lawsuit. The city had the insurance cover its defense. The only reason the city will end up, if ever, paying legal fees would be the fees of those who sued the city. And I find it tragic that someone would sue their own city and then expect the city to pay for the lawyers that attacked, that went against the city's interest, when all anyone was trying to do was get legal counsel to defend the city in the first place. So I think it's unfortunate that we were in that position, but hopefully with this modest step of having someone responsive, and by the way, I believe in the mayor's email to council, he used the word threat. So someone said there is no threat. Actually, the word threat was used. The word consequences was used. And we'd be irresponsible to ignore the mayor. That would not be working together to just say, oh, he doesn't really mean it. He's not serious. We can just ignore him. I think we need to take the mayor seriously. I wish he was sitting here right now so we could ask him, what did you mean by that? I don't understand why everyone else is here doing their job and he's not. I don't want to pass an ordinance without talking to the mayor, but if he doesn't choose to be here and do the job, if he chooses to have nonfeasance in office and simply not perform, we have to do something to protect the city's interest. Thank you.
Madam President, I just want to clear up really quick, because there's been a lot of talk about the lawsuit, and I know that the mayor tried to sue the city, or sue council members. He tried to sue the council. He tried to sue five of the council members. But this judgment boiled down to Bob Wager, the citizen, versus the city of Willoughby Hills. And the judgment is not against me, and it's not against our council. It's against our city. And it is our city and our taxpayers who will have to pay the judgment should we not appeal. And I have a hard time thinking that that's an okay thing. It's not our insurance company that's going to pay that judgment. It's the taxpayers that will pay that judgment. That's tragic, because the mayor suing, he sued as a resident, as a taxpayer. And that's what this case boils down to. And he didn't have to sue. He could have just worked with us to find a permanent law director, rather than just be upset that we put in an acting law director he didn't particularly like. But that acting law director only needed to be in there for a few weeks, if that much. So it's really tragic that we are now in the case where a sitting mayor of a city sues the city as a taxpayer, wins against his own city, and the city then has to pay his attorney's fees. That's just absolutely tragic to me.
Madam President.
Madam.
Councilman Helm.
Thank you. Well, I differ in my opinion, because I think what we avoided doing was paying an overpriced attorney at all. And quite frankly, the attorney fees that we saved on not having to pay for an acting law director that was being paid four times what we had in the past is far less than what we end up paying in the fees. And in addition, the interesting thing to me is that if everything had just been left alone and we hadn't done anything, I think if my memory serves, if we'd left the law director in his post where he was, I think the union contract amounted to, if I, my recollection is, $7,500 a year, which is far less than what has transpired here and the cost that we've incurred, because the vast majority of the cost of this lawsuit was actually from the city's legal defense. Comparatively, was much higher than what we're going to end up paying in legal fees to the mayor's, Bob Wager's, if you will, legal team.
Madam President?
Councilman Phoebe.
A couple of corrections there. The overpriced attorney that you just mentioned, we've learned, has the exact same rate as the rate that Mr. Wager will have paid. So to say he's overpriced would be to say that Bob Wager had an overpriced attorney.
And I never say $250
an hour is you know, actually a pretty reasonable rate when you compare it to certain other lawyers and litigation. You know, $350, $400. $450 an hour is not unheard of, and there are some attorneys that are certainly worth that. When you get a $95 an hour attorney, I think you get pretty bad legal advice, frankly. Somebody that would work that cheaply, I don't know that they'd be worth it. Not for my dollar, anyway. And I want to correct a false narrative that Mr. Byron was paid at a rate four times. That's just simply incorrect. It was not four times the amount of the previous, but let's just go back to my statement, $95 an hour, and what we got was in this mess. It's not worth it. It's not worth a dollar, frankly. But it was not four times. He certainly, and I still will stand by, he did provide us a service. He did it well. He did it in good faith. And I think he should get paid. The union formation, also to correct on the record, the formation of the union is not just specifically about the exact dollar amount of raises. It's about other issues as well. The perks, the benefits, the other mandates that are there, the vacation time that was unprecedented in our city at that time, an issue like tenure, which, you know, how do you put a dollar figure on saying that person can never lose their job in an administrative function in this city? Nobody has tenure in City Hall. I mean, that's just unheard of. City halls across the nation. Police. Don't have that. Fire don't have that. Service workers don't have it. The other five unions would all look at that contract and say, if you gave it to that union, you've got to give it to us too. And that's why that would have, in three different attorneys, looked at this completely independent. And they said, that will bankrupt your city. That's what it's about, Chris. That's what it's about. That's why we're defending it. And insurance. We had a great lawyer, I think. Mr. Beck, you did a fine job. It's been an honor to get to know you. I think you're an astute jurist, and I wish the ruling went the other way. But you certainly, you know, won two out of three, if you want to look at it that way. And thank you for your service to the city. The insurance PEP picked up the entire amount that the city was burdened with in this lawsuit, this taxpayer action. I understand it. I don't really want to mention the number, but the entire amount was picked up. The only outlay, Mr. Plechnik talked about that briefly, the only outlay would be to the award attorney fees to Mr. Wager's lawyers. Thank you.
Madam President, actually, there's also a deductible, Dave, of about $7,500, 15% of $50,000 that we are also responsible for as a deductible, so it's not completely free. And it is four times when you, if you're just looking at the 95 and 250, of course not. But you have to take into account the retainer, which was 2,300, 2,600, something like that for Mr. Lobey versus 10,000 for Mr. Byron. So if you do all of the math, include all of the numbers, and then I think you get a clearer picture of the actual facts.
Madam President, I just need to clear that up one time. I'm sorry. But the contract with Mr. Lobey was structured differently than the agreement with Mr. Byron. And in practice, we spent about anywhere between $60,000 and $90,000-ish over the years for Mr. Lobey. So it's not four times. That's the retainer, but the structure of the agreements completely different, and we never paid or would have paid billable hours to Mr. Byron. Everything he did would have been covered by his retainer. So that is a falsehood, and that needs to be corrected.
Completely false. Completely false statement.
No, it's not.
And I will not back down from that. The numbers are public record. You can look them up.
They are. Please do.
And here's the other thing that's really important to state for the record, that this council never intended to have a year contract with Mr. Byron. And our mayor and others have tried to push that false narrative. We never intended that. Our intent was a couple of months just to get us through the appointment process. And again, I implore the mayor, all you have to do is work with council. You need 4 votes. This is what our charter says. The mayor appoints, council confirms. So 5 people in our city have to sit down and come up with somebody that they can agree on. It's not that hard. But apparently it is with this mayor, because he went to court over it. And I wish we could get to a new day here in Willoughby Hills to say, yeah, let's do this. Let's move forward.
Madam President, can we call the question?
The question is called. Vicki, we're going to call the roll on adopting Ordinance 2018-21 as amended.
Habig.
Yes.
Hallam.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Ordinance 2018-21 as amended has been adopted. The next one is ordinance.
I'm sorry, wasn't that just the vote for calling the question?
No, the council president has the authority to call the question herself.
I was just asking what that vote was on. Make sure we voted on.
I'm good.
Okay.
But I am confident if we had a motion to call the question, it would have passed. So I have the authority to do that. Ordinance 2018-22.
An ordinance to employ the services of Greg Beck and Baker, Duplicar, Beck, Wiley, and Matthews to represent the city of Willoughby Hills in the appeal of the decision rendered in the complaint filed in Wager versus City of Willoughby Hills, Lake County Common Pleas Court, case number 17-CV-001-758, and declaring an emergency.
And this will stay on first reading.
Madam President, motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilman Habig to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion. Vicki, please call the roll.
Habig.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Meeting is adjourned at 11:15 p.m., and thank you, everybody.